All right. Let's read a scripture real fast, and then let's pray and open this up. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Oh God, let today be something special, Lord. Not just a moment in time, God, but an altar in our life. Lord, let this be brought out of conviction and not judgment, out of humbleness and not haughtiness. God, whatever the cost is to making this your words and not mine, let it be, God. Father, if there's ever a more unqualified person, I don't know him. But God, like you did with Aaron, just let me be the mouthpiece, God. Father, I pray that this isn't taken lightly, that this isn't a laughing matter, that this isn't just something that we hear and don't do. But Father, draw our hearts near to yours today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the infilling power of it. God, let it fall in this place like a mighty rain. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. The name of God in vain. Where does that even start? This is something that convicted me a couple of weeks ago when I was going to do it. When we got back from family camp, but something different came up. This isn't just something that I'm going to tell you. This is something that I'm practicing. This isn't something that I'm perfect at. This is something that I still have a hard time with on occasions. But I'm really actually starting to understand what that really means. I'm not exactly where we get the idea of taking God's name in vain, we actually drew it from. I think it's just something that we all made up growing up, because you just hear, you know, God darn this, or you just hear Jesus Christ that. That has nothing to do with taking God's name in vain. That would be cursing God's name. That has nothing to do with taking it in vain. Let's look at what the word vain means from its very, very point in the 13th century when this word started being used. Vanity, lack of value, hollowness, worthless, to no effect, vain, ineffectual, unsuccessful, futile, a vain effort, idle, without real significance, value, or importance, baseless or worthless, archaic, senseless or foolish, devoid of power, in vain, without effect or avail, to no purpose, an improper or irreverent manner to take God's name in vain. That is so much more than a swear word. That is a lack of power. The lack of power is the greatest taking of God's name in vain I've ever seen. The greatest taking of God's name is when I hear someone who says they're a Christian and have no power behind them. That is taking God's name in vain. That is worse than cursing God's name. Is saying you're his and having no proof behind it. That's terrifying. That's taking God's name in vain. That's the scary part. Is when you say, yeah, I'm Christ-like, and yet you'd live like you're not. That's taking God's name in vain. This actually, when this started really, it was something I was kind of feeling a while ago. I read Exodus maybe a month or two ago, and I was just kind of studying the commandments for a while, and I mean they're all pretty self-explanatory, but when I read the taking of God's name in vain and I will not hold him blameless, it really struck me, and I said, why is that, God? So many of the other ones are just kind of, I don't want to really say they're just a statement, but they're more to the statement side. This is more of an upholding, like a standard. It's a standard, like something that you're expected to live up to. And when I started thinking about that, we did family camp, and a very close friend of mine came up to me, and she said something along these lines. She said, "I know that my husband missed out on God so long because I said I was a Christian, but what I would do behind closed doors was un-Christ-like." And I said, and it grieved me really bad. And I said, "Is this what you're talking about? Is this what you mean? Is this what taking God's name in vain is really about? Is someone saying, I am this person, but then living counter to that? That is vain. That's empty. That's foolish. That's devoid of power. That's without effect. That's to no purpose. That's an improper or irreverent manner." Go back up to the top. If you don't mind, I'm sorry. I know it's not as easy as just doing that. That's a lack of value. That's a hollowness to someone's heart. That's worthless. There's no power in it. There's no honor in that. It's of no effect. It's ineffectual. Someone who says, "Oh, Jesus, this." You ever known somebody who says something like this? "Well, God told me this. God told me to turn the doorknob to the left and not the right. Okay, God told me to tie this shoe first and this shoe." You start going, are you sure that's not just your feelings that you're hearing and then saying God told you to do it? You ever know that person? You remember like what it's like to have I have a nephew, and he'd get excited, and he'd come up and he'd be like, Andy. Well, eventually your ears start going dull to the value of that word, right? I mean, right? Anybody who's ever been in an earthly work environment, you hear the F word every other word, and it starts off offending you. But then shortly after that, it starts to taper down, and it becomes more okay. You know it's still wrong, but yet that flatant wrongness, your ears start to become dull to that. And when you know someone who uses the word God every other second, there's no power to it. It's like when you hear it bothers me. It just bothers me. It's like when someone tells me this, "Well, God told me that I'm supposed to do this." When you read through the Bible, there's other spirits besides God that talk to people. A lot of them are the evil spirits. So when I hear somebody and they say, "Well, the Spirit told me this," well, a spirit might have told you that, but that doesn't line up with the Word of God. So don't tell me this about God. Don't tell me this. Show me. When I see somebody whose life has any of these things, when you know someone who says, "I am a Christian, I am a follower of God," and yet you see a lack of value in that person's life, a hollowness, worthlessness, no effect. They're constantly telling people, "Jesus can do this in your life. Jesus can do that in your life." And yet that person struggles day by day, and they feel this lack of power. Yet they tell people because they know it's right, but they have no power. There's no effect. It's ineffectual. It's unsuccessful. It's futile. A vain effort, idle, without real significance, value, or importance, worthless. God will not hold that man blameless. When you call yourself a Christian, you are held to a standard, a higher standard of living. To say one thing and to live another is taking the name of God in vain, because you're calling yourself Christ-like. Therefore, when someone looks at you and they say, "I don't think I want to be like that person," now you have put a bad taste in their mouth. You have now ruined the name of God. Psalm 17, 3-6. "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. This is a man who understands the power of the mouth. This is a man who understands, yeah, God, you've tested me. You've looked in the dark rooms. You're seeing what I'm doing. You can trust me, Father. I am Christ-like. This is a man who knows what that's like. This is a man of honor. And he's saying, yeah, it's hard. Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. I don't want to be worthless. I don't want to be living in vain. I don't want to be futile, devoid of power. What do you hear when you hear somebody say, oh my God? What does that say to you? Does that make you say, yes, my God does make me shake? Or is it just mindless babble? I mean, why is it nobody ever says, oh my Satan, or Oh my mother, or oh my dipstick, or oh my Pennzoil? Why is that? Ask yourself, why do you think that is? That's the enemy devoiding us of power in his name. That's a plant. I mean, honestly, does that not seem weird to you guys? We have so many different swear words. I mean, you know, you can list off like 15 different swear words. But nobody ever says, oh my, or oh my that. It's always, oh my God. Does no one see as that it's like a, it would be like taking a butter knife. I mean, although, yeah, when you shove it into a light socket, what's it going to do? First, it's going to flash, and then it's going to drain all that power out eventually. Right? I mean, it's just going to keep sucking power out of the fuse box. When someone says, oh my God, and then when they go to pray for someone, then they incite the name of God as if it now has power. So we use it once as a voidless word, and then we try to use it again and call upon the power of God. And then we wonder why our prayers have no power. They're void. Because we do it one way, and then we want it another. We want it both ways, and you can't have that. When you say something with your mouth, not only are you, it's like a drain. You're either gonna drain power or you're gonna build it up. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've done this myself. You know, you go, oh my God. And then when you pray, you go, God, come in this place. Well, now why does God have more power than it did 5 minutes ago? Because I'm using it as a nonsense word. I've drained it of its power. I've gotten rid of its glory and honor, the name of Jehovah. The power that lies in that name that people used to tremble at. And now we wonder why in churches someone can say, God loves you, and nobody even thinks twice about it. Because the name has gotten so watered down. I mean, even Sinai, if you water it down enough, won't kill you. The name of God is more powerful than anything on this earth. There's a scripture, I actually should have written this down, but it talks about the name of God breaking the cedars, the name of God ripping open the ocean, the name above all names. And yet we look at someone and we say, because we don't know what to say. Someone's in pain and we say, Jesus loves you. That's it. Is there power in that? Or have we drained it of its power? What have we lost? When you think about the name of God, what do you think? When you hear someone say the word God, do you automatically want to say, that is my God? Or do you just say, oh, they're just babbling? Because that's all it is. When someone says, Oh my God, it's just watering it down. It just turns into mindless babble. And if there's ever a word that shouldn't be watered down, it's the name of God. If there's ever one thing that has more potency on this planet that we can come out of our mouths, it should be the word God. When we say God, people should feel the Holy Spirit come inside of them like a burning fire. But instead, we say it every other word, and then we wonder why it has no power. We wonder why we've lost that fire. Because we say it one way with no power, and then we expect power another time. Ezekiel 33:31 talks a little bit about this. 32:5-8. Isaiah 32:5-8. God, help my words be guided. My mind's not altogether here today. I will not lie. The foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Also the schemes of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks justice. But the generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. What he's saying here is this person is all about empty words. That's what he's trying to get across here. He's saying this person, he's thought of greater than he is. He's thought of by other people to be helping people. But there's no power. When he leaves, that person's thirsty. When he leaves, that person's hungry. When you pray for someone, they should not be hungry any longer. When someone has turmoil inside their heart, when we invoke the name of God the Father, we want his will to be done. That person should not stick there and be thirsty. Now, is there going to be pain that's untouched by a single prayer? Of course. That would be ridiculous to say otherwise. But I'm saying when you're around someone and there's the power of God there, that person should no longer be hungry or thirsty for righteousness and truth and mercy and peace and love. But instead, we're all so worthless and futile because we invoke the name of God as gibberish when it's so much more than that. We say we're one thing and we live another. Now we can go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, if you're following. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. That should terrify you. Because every person who's ever lived more than 5 minutes has seen this person or has been this person. Let's just be honest. We've all been that person. We've all said we're close to God, and yet when nobody's around, the first thing that we turn to is very rarely God. That is taking God's name in vain. That is a life in vain. That's even more worthless than someone out shooting drugs. Because at least that person has some conviction about the way that he's living. You have no conviction either way. It's like a lukewarm soup. Useless, worthless, garbage. Throw it down the toilet. That's all it's good for. Zechariah 5:4. So this is talking about a vision that Zechariah the prophet sees. Okay? So it's talking about he's basically woken up out of a sleep and he sees a vision of a flying scroll. It's a little weird, I understand. I don't understand all of it, but this piece stuck out to me. So he's talking about basically the deceivers, What else does he talk about? Thieves, perjurers. So he's saying there's going to come a day when they're gone, when my justice shall come on the earth, and they're gone. But he's saying now, I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. Now listen, he's not saying swears, not using the name of God as a swear word. This is someone who swears falsely by my name. This is a man who says, God can heal you, and there's no power. Who says, I'm a Christian, I won't ruin you in this deal. This is a man who swears falsely by his name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with timber and stones. Another one that I hear has lost more power than is even understandable. When you hear the word amen, what does it make you think? Are you sure? I mean, honestly, just think about it for a second. Because because that's what most people, it's just agreement. Do those shoes match? Amen. Would you say that? I don't know. I see people use it as the word yes. I see it used as a word for filling in silence. I see it used for anything. It's just become some sort of space filler. It's lost its power. Where it was never supposed to have lost its power. When Jesus prayed this at the model prayer, he was saying, let it be so with me. Let my will come into accordance with your will. Think about the words that you say. Think about them. Because when you just blather them on, understand that when you actually want that word to have power, it might not. You might have drained it. Now, is there a way to get out of that? Of course. But I'm just saying this convicted me very, very, very much so. And I hope that maybe it can get the point across because it's so crucial. It's one of the Ten Commandments that people skip over because we think when someone says God, that's taking God's name in vain. Well, if I don't say those two words, then I'm not taking God's name in vain. That has so little to do with it. It's the life. It's the living above the standard. When someone says, here's another one, I'll pray for you. That's taking God's name in vain if you don't do it. Because that's some sort of space filler. Because when you feel like you don't know what to do, when someone goes, yeah, my little sister was, beaten half to death. My second cousin got molested by her babysitter. And then we just go, oh, well, I don't know what to say to that. I guess I'll pray for you. Because honestly, think about it. How many times have you told someone that you'll pray for them and you actually put the prayer into that person that you would expect when someone says, I'll pray for you? When someone says, I'll pray for you, you think, oh, they're going to spend an hour on their face praying for me. But it's never the same in return. Your expectations have been lost because of the vanity of saying that. Amen. We've lost its power. Amen. This is something that the Quakers used to do. This is something I highly, highly respect. So there was people call it the Reformation. You can call it whatever you want. It happens all throughout history. There's a point when the pastors in the churches had gotten so watered down that basically there was a certain group of God's chosen people that they couldn't take it anymore. But they did it the right way. They honored their authority. And in honoring that authority, it was mostly women. Because back in those times, more women went to church because the men had to work. It just was. Nevertheless, but the reason they started calling them Quakers was they would come into these churches, and without the pastor knowing, without making some big hurrah, they would sit down and they would pray that God would change these men. And it was so powerful that the pastors would stop and say things like, "What's something is different. What is wrong here?" That's someone who's living a life that has power. That's not futile. That's somebody whose life, they don't need to go blather on about how they'll pray for the church. They just went and they did it. This is something, I think I read it on a church. I don't even know where it came from. God might have told me. I don't even know anymore. But these words have been ringing in my head nonstop. Don't tell me, show me. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear how God told you this, thus says the Lord that. When you're living that, proof and power shall follow. That's what the word says. When someone says, thus says the Lord, and there's no power behind it, it's drained. It's gone. It has no avail anymore. It's futile. It's worthless. Because the power of God has been drained. Because they're not living the way that they're supposed to be. When there's power behind that, that's the truth. That's the fruit. Matthew 12:36, a scripture that everyone should have memorized about worthless talk. 12:36, Matthew 12:36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. On judgment day, are you going to be saying, oh my God? Possibly. I bet you will. Because you're going to realize that this is real. This isn't a joke. There's something to this. This is, we don't have to read it all. But how Isaiah became a prophet, the same thing happened. This is a righteous man. Isaiah was a righteous man. Okay? He sees a vision of God sitting on a throne with his train filling the temple. And this is what he says. He sees the angels worshiping. Even the angels see this. And he says, I am a man of unclean lips, for I dwell among the people with their unclean mouth. This is where we are. We have devoided the name and the power of God through our lives and through our mouths. We are a people of unclean lips and of an unclean heart. And today what we need is an angel to take a white-hot burning coal and to press it right on our mouth, and for us to get this out of our heart and out of our mouths as being something worthless. As the name of God being something powerful. The name of God, the kind of thing that breaks the trees. The name of God that can break people's addictions. The name of God which is above every name. Something needs to change because it's becoming vain. Just flip a few chapters over to 15. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Doctrines. So what he's saying here is the people are putting their doctrines as God's law. Thus says the Lord, you can live this way. God said, you can't live that way. That's right. That's wrong. Who told you that? Can you honestly, when you stand before the judgment seat, when you look at someone and you tell them, you can't do that? Can you honestly, when you go to the judgment seat, can you answer to God and say, you told me that? Do you think there's going to be a lot of arguing about that? I know there's not. Because even when the angels look at the Most High God, they say, holy, holy, holy. There's going to be no arguing. There's going to be no questioning his name and his power. These people draw near to me with their mouths, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain. They live in vain. If ever there was a time of more vain Christian people, I don't know it. Because it's all been watered down. Everything's watered down. The Holy Spirit does this. God told me that. And so little honest, true men of God fasting and praying and seeking his face. The truth is so watered down that it's lost its potency. We live in vain. We worship in vain. Something needs to change. Romans 12, 21 through 24. We're almost done. Get us through this, Lord. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. This is God's people that he's talking to here. This is the Jews, which when you are a Christian, you are now. You are now a grafted Jew. You're a Gentile who's been accepted as a Jew. Okay? Gentiles were ungodly people. Blah, blah, blah. Well, it doesn't matter. Okay? He's talking to you. That's what the bottom line is. He's saying the name of God is blasphemed because of you. Because of me. It's all empty. When all you sit around and say and do is, it doesn't even matter. But when you say something and you live another, when you say, oh my God, this, and then demand power later, when people mock God, it's your fault. Understand that. Because you aren't living to your standard that he has called you to live. So who knows how many people are now living, doing wicked, despised things because of our lack of living to the standard which God has called us. And we have no one to blame but ourselves, the church, us, you and I, because the name of God is blasphemed because of me and you, because there is no power. It is empty. We have broken the third commandment, and we will not be held blameless for that. We will be held to a standard because of that. Ephesians 5:4. It goes on a big list. We'll just read this. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, no coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. What's he trying to say here? He's saying this isn't fitting to a child of God. A child of God is held to a higher standard. So when you're sometime during this week, and I'll challenge you this. This is something I've been working on. Try to find out how many times you say, oh my gosh, this. Oh my God, that. Jesus Christ, this. And you will look in the mirror and be so ashamed. And when you say to pray for someone and nothing comes out of it, that proves that your life is in vain. Now, you don't get to judge that prayer. Just understand that. You don't immediately get to see that fruit. But I'm saying when we call upon the name of God and we feel God come into us, there's something to that. That's a life above par. That's living to God's standard. If when you pray for someone, when you invoke the name of God and it's just another word in a long sentence, ask yourself why that is. Search your heart. Ask God to take that coal and show you where you're at. It talks about a lot in Ezekiel, the measuring line, the plumb line, the line of a standard. Which part of that line do you stand on? Because no one stands in the middle. So if you're calling yourself Christ-like, and when you look in the mirror and you say these things, and you say, you know, spiteful things to someone else, when you're judging someone else, when you live in anger, bitterness, coarse jesting, dirty joke, you name it. It doesn't matter. When you find yourself like that, I want you to think about that as the plumb line. You live on one side of the plumb line. You don't get to choose. The standard is not one you made. Because if we made the standard, it would look like this. Because we all want what makes us feel happy. We want sometimes to live on this side of the line. We want sometimes to live on this side of the line. We want God to heal people, but we don't want to live holy. And when that doesn't happen, we have no one to blame but ourselves, because we try to think that our plumb line looks more like the ocean wave than it does like a God-written standard. If the wouldn't you think it was silly if when we read out of this book that the words would intermesh together, that none of them made sense, that half of them were written left to right and half of them were written right to left? Some of the words were written diagonally, some of the words were written horizontally. Wouldn't that seem weird? Well, we're the living holy word of God now, and that's how we live. No one can make any sense out of it because we live so contradictory to the word of God. No one can make any sense out of God anymore, because when they look at the New Living Bible, Randy, Jordan, Loretta, all they see is flesh. It's vain, it's empty. Last scripture. Here's the way out. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. When you hear the word Jesus Christ, I want you to think about praising God. When you hear someone say, "Oh my God," I want you to say, "God, please help them," because they don't know what they're doing. When you hear a Christian say one thing and live another, he is stuck. And I want you to measure yourself on that plumb line. Am I living that way? When I get to the judgment seat, which side will I be on of that plumb line? Am I living in vain? How many people, when they look at me, see God, because I call myself a Christian, have I led down the wrong path? Because I live one way when nobody else is looking. Think about that this week. Harness your tongue. In the book of James, it talks about the tongue being the thing that steers the ship. I want you to think about where your ship is being steered. Are you being steered towards God or towards hell? I want you to think about what's on the inside of your heart that's causing you to live in that vanity. What's on the inside of you that's causing that lack of power when you hear God? Because that's all it is. Because when a Christian says, "Oh my God, this," all that means is that person doesn't believe in the power of the name of Jehovah. That's what that means. That means they've lost their faith in God. So the next time you say that, I want you to think, do I still believe that God is all-powerful? Because by doing this, I am vain. I am empty, worthless. I'm a joke. I'm a fool. And then I want you to pray and seek out what it means. That's what living in vain means. That's what taking God's name in vain is. It's more than just a swear word. It's more than just, it's us. Taking God's name in vain, there's no such thing as a worthless Christian. I want you to remember that. So if you think that you're just some sort of subpar Christian, there's no such thing as a worthless Christian. Has your heart turned more to the side of the unbeliever? Have you lost all faith in God and power? Because the real Christian, when he hears the name of God, understands, that's my Lord. That's my Father. That's the source of all power. That's the reason my heart beats. That's the reason I can breathe. When you hear the name of God, it should invoke honor and passion. It should not invoke mindless gibberish. It shouldn't just be another word that's thrown together in a sentence. It shouldn't just be something that we do on the weekends. It should be a source of unquenchable burning fire and passion. Something that we're held to a standard up with. The true Christian life is run off the heaping power of God and nothing else. So today, what I want to do, will you put on the Take Me In song, please? There's a song that talks about Isaiah 6. It talks about, take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Okay? If you want prayer for trying to take back your own heart and your own mouth, I'll pray with you. I won't pray for you. I'll pray with you. Because I'm just as guilty as you are. But there's something to the fact, just remember, your mouth doesn't just say things. It's coming out of your heart. Just I want you to think about that. When you say, oh my God, it's because your heart does not believe any longer in the power of God. Because the word God is just another word. It's not a name of the lover of your soul. It's not a name of the man who can crush nations. It's not a name of the man who's going to send Jesus Christ through the clouds. It's just another word. So I challenge you this week. Try to remember that. Let's sing this song, and then we'll pray, and then we can do whatever else we do. I hope this touched you. Let's pray real quick, though. God, I hope that I didn't take your name in vain by doing this. Father, let this be something of power, something that isn't in vain, God. Lord, the last thing anybody in this room needs is more verses to study. The last thing anybody in this room needs is more divine thoughts or how to this or what to do that. God, what we need a hot, flaming coal to come right across our lips, God. Lord, reveal your holiness today, God. Because that's the only thing that's going to actually invoke any of us to change. Not my words, God. The only thing that's going to mean anything is if you come in this house with a bright, shining seraphim with a hot coal in his hands and start touching people in their heart. Father, let us not live in vain. Let this be more than just something that we say, God. Lord, forgive me and everyone in this room who's ever thought lower of you than you are. Who's ever lost your power. Who's ever lost your anointing and mighty hand on their back. Oh God, I pray that you raise us up on wings of eagles. Take the coal, cleanse our lips, God. God, even if you have to take them off of our lips, it doesn't mean anything, Lord. Burn us up, Lord. Burn us with your holy fire in this house. Let this be an honoring sacrifice to you, Lord. In the name of Jehovah, the mighty God, we pray today. Amen.
To the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Take me past the crowds of people and priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and I've only found one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the holy of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. me past the crowds of people, and priests who sing your praise. A hunger and thirst for righteousness that I've only found one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am.